Okay, we're going to begin here on the top of Mem Aleph Omid Aleph, nine lines down by the two dots. The Gemara here is going to discuss the latter half of the Mishnah that we had yesterday, which is with regards to Ein Mevashlim et HaPesach. One cannot cook the Pesach, lo b'mashkim v'lo b'mei pirot, not with liquids and not with mei pirot, liquids mashkim being water, and not mei pirot, other forms of liquid. That is problematic in terms of making the Korban HaPesach. Now, how this fits into the Mishnah is not exactly clear how the Mishnah transitioned and how this connects to the previous items found in the Mishnah. As Tosfot points out, even if you say it's connected to the liquids mentioned in the Mishnah, we had other items that were mentioned in between. The shaluk and the bishul of the maror, which was mentioned beforehand, was then interrupted by the issue of Ein Nodim Kemach L'Toch Haroset L'Toch Chardal. If that is really the connection to the Mishnah, why didn't it transition over to this item right away? And so that's what we said yesterday, that this Mishnah is really an eclectic group of halachot that seemingly are not connected in any way. So now the Gemara wants to know, when it says Ein Mevashlim, that you're not allowed to cook the Korban HaPesach, how do you know that cooking the Korban HaPesach in things besides water is problematic? Because the Pasuk tells us, with regards to the Korban HaPesach, Al tochlu mimenu na uvashel mivushal b'mayim ki im tzliyesh roshu al kura v'al kirbo. So in the Pasuk, it only mentions bashel mivushal b'mayim, that when it's cooked in water. But what about other liquids? Where do we know that from? And so here the Gemara discusses that. Tanu banan, b'mayim, ainli ala b'mayim. I only know that if you cook the Korban HaPesach in water, that it's problematic. Shar mashkim minayin. How do I know that other liquids are problematic? Amart kal v'chomer. It's a kal v'chomer. Uma mayim she'ein mefigim ta'aman. By water, where it doesn't change the flavor, it doesn't lose its flavor, asurin, and yet it's still problematic. Shar mashkim. When it comes to other liquids, she'ein mefigim ta'aman, that because their flavor is imparted to the Korban HaPesach, therefore it ruins the flavor of the Korban HaPesach. I mean, the Korban HaPesach's flavor is ruined by the fact that there are other mashkim there. Lo koshken? Certainly that should be problematic. Where water is simply the vehicle for the transmission of the heat to cook the item, but doesn't change the flavor of the item. On the other hand, when you use other types of liquids where not only is the transference of heat moved through the liquid, but also there's flavor imparted from the liquid which changes the flavor of the Korban HaPesach, ruins in some sense and diminishes the flavor of the Korban HaPesach, certainly that should be problematic. Now what's interesting here is that we have a kal v'chomer and we have a principle, ein mazhirin min hadin, that in general you can't have an azhara or you can't have an onesh min hadin, because a kal v'chomer, which is an logical argument, you can darshan it to create isur, but you can't darshan it to punish based on that. And this gemara over here, when it's searching through these items, is looking for, not lavin, as the question of whether it's mutar or asur. Everybody agrees that this is asur. Everybody agrees that these are problematic. What the Gemara really is looking for is, do you get malkot for doing it in such a manner? So over here you have what we call mazhirin min adin, which is that you're going to turn out through a kal v'chomer to have a lav and give malkot because of that. So Tosfot explains over here that this is different than your classic kal v'chomer. Rather, the kal v'chomer over here is used to be what we call megale milto. Comes to define for us what the meaning of bashel mivushal is. It's coming to tell us that when it says bashel mivushal b'mayim, that don't think that just means cooking in water. But there are other ways to cook just as problematic as water. And the gilui milta through the kal v'chomer is that cooking with other liquids is just as much cooking or even worse cooking than it is with mayim. And therefore bashel mivushal includes in it both liquid and water. But the kal v'chomer tells us that that's the definition of bishul. That's what Tosfot says. Instead of being a kal v'chomer that's mazhirin min adin, rather it's a way to broaden the definition of bishul. And by doing that, you have a bishul or malkot that's not coming through a kal v'chomer. Because the kal v'chomer itself is not what generates the malkot. The word bishul or mevashel is expanded to include all of these items, rather than saying that this is a logical argument, it extends bashel mevushal b'mayim to say that it includes other mashkim. So Rabbi Omer, b'mayim, ein li ala mayim, shar mashkim minayin. So Rabbi has an alternative way to learn it. We have the word mayim, how do I know other liquids? Tamal Omer, u'bashel mevushal mikol makom. That bashel mevushal means any type of cooking is problematic. May b'nayu, what's the nafkamina between the two ways that you can learn? Ik b'nayu, tzlikei dar. The difference between them is tzlikei dar, which is when you have a dry roast. If you place the item in a pot without any liquid, and you roast it in the pot where it's quote-unquote roasting in its own liquid, that's where you'll have a difference between them. In the first case, you need a mashke that is external, exogenous to the korban itself, in order to be considered bishul. Whether that's mayim or shar mashkim, that's the only way you have a problem of bishul. On the other hand, according to Rabbi, bashel mevushal means any type of cooking, any form of cooking that's not liesh is considered to be problematic. And that's the case over here. Now, the case over here, it's bashel mevushal, and it's not liesh, and therefore it's problematic. As Tosfot again explains, everybody agrees that it's problematic. Nobody would agree that this is considered to be tzli, and you could eat a korban pesach like this. It's just a question, do you get malkot for something like this? And the difference between the limudim will tell us whether you get malkot, whether it's subsumed under the lav, or not subsumed under the lav for malkot. But everybody agrees it does not qualify to be klim tzliesh, and therefore it would not be good to be used as a korban pesach. So certainly nobody would think that tzli kedar is considered to be tzliesh. So Rabbanon, hai bashel mevushal mai avdilei, the Rabbanon who learn it out from the fact that we have a kal v'chomer by mayim, what do they do with this double shono bashel mevushal? Rabbi uses it over here. What do they do with it? Mivai leketetanyo, they need it for this bright bishlo v'achakach lo'o. If he cooks it and then roasts it, or tlo'o v'achakach bishlo, or he roasts it and then cooks it, chayav. In both those cases, he's chayav. So it says, bishlamo bishlo v'achakach lo'o chayav. I understand if he first cooks it and then roasts it afterwards that he's chayav to habashlei, because he cooked it. That's the problem. If he first roasted it and then afterwards he cooks it, he did what he was supposed to do. He roasted the korban pesach. Why does the cooking afterwards detract from the fact that he made it tzliesh? So am I? Why in that case is it problematic? So I'm Rav Kahano, ha mani Rav Yosihi. This position of the Chachamim here is authored within the position of Rabbi Yossi, which is a machloket Rabbi Meir Rabbi Yossi from the Gemara in Brachot, the Tanya, Yotzim Birakik. We're talking about here matzah, whether you can be yotze with such matzah for the mitzvah of matzah, and whether you make a bracha of a motilech min haaretz. The Yotzim Birakik, if you have a cracker, a sharui, that was soaked, ubimivushal, or if it was cooked, shalo nimoach, and it did not disintegrate or dissolve. So as long as you have the shape or form of the lechem, even if it's soaked or cooked, it remains matzah. So here's a case we have bishul achar afia. You have cooking after baking. And we here say that the baking remains intact, despite the fact that you're mevashel it, divrei Rabbi Meir. That's the position of Rabbi Meir, that that's still considered to be matzah, and it's considered to be lechem. So therefore you would make a bracha of a mutzi lechem in aretz, and you would say with the din of matzah that you have to have on the night of Pesach. The Gemara here is really briefly touching on a sugya that's found in the Gemara Brachot as well as in the Gemara Menachot as to when does bread lose its status as bread. And there the Gemara discusses something called Tarita de Nehema, that it still has to have some sort of shape or form of bread, and it has to have been made in such a way that it was hamotzi in the first place. And so that's why the emphasis over here is at Shaloni Moach, that it did not completely dissolve or disintegrate, because then it loses Tarita de Nehema, it loses that shape or form or semblance of being bread. But that really relates to a much broader topic or sugyo as to when is bread bread, and when does bread lose its shame bread, which isn't the focus of our Gemara over here. Our Gemara is simply interested in when you have, whether it's bishul, afiyah, tzli, once one of them has taken place, can the other one undermine that which has taken place before? Similar to a concept that we find in Shabbat about whether there's bishul achar bishul on Shabbat or is there bishul achar afiyah on Shabbat. Rabbi Yossi Omer, Yotzim Braki Kasharui. He agrees that when it comes to something that's soaked, that's fine. Avalo b'mivushal afa pishloni moach. When it comes to bishul, even though it has not dissolved, that's enough to ruin the afiyah. So what you see from here is that the afiyah can be undone by the bishul. And just like the bishul undoes the afiyah, so too over here you're going to have the same thing, which is that the bishul will undo the tzli. So that's what it means. It's b'shem Rabbi Yossi. Rabbi Yossi who says that bishul after another form of cooking, whether in the case of the matzah it's baking, or in the case of the pesach over here it's tzliesh, it's roasting, that the bishul can undermine that which you've done before. It can ruin that which was there before. And because the cooking is mevatel shem lechem, so too The cooking is mivato, the shem Pesach or Tzli Eish from it. That is Rashi's explanation of the Gemara. The Ri, on the other hand, says that the problem of the cooking after the Afiyah is that it changes it from Lechem Oni to Matzah Ashira. And just like the cooking changes the Afiyah that was Lechem Oni into Matzah Ashira, so too the cooking over here is able to undermine or invalidate the roasting that was done previously. Ula Amar, Ula on the other hand says, Afilu Teima Rabbi Meir. Even Rabbi Meir can be the author of the position here. Shiny Hocha, over here it's different. Damarkar, Bashel Mivushal Mikol Makom. That over here, the Bashel Mivushal comes to teach you that any form of Bishul is problematic. Whether it's before or afterwards, it's problematic. As opposed to in the Gemara and Brachot, where we're dealing with whether you make a Bracha of a Motzi, and you can be Mikayim the Mitzvah of Matzah with it, because it's called Lechem, that is a din in whether Bishul affects the Afiyah. And there Rabbi Meir says, Bishul doesn't affect the Afiyah. Over here, Bishul may not affect the Tzliyesh, but the Torah says you may not cook it whatsoever. Doesn't matter if the cooking's before or the cooking's afterwards, cooking period is problematic. And so despite the fact that maybe the cooking cannot undermine the Tzliyesh, it's still problematic. And therefore you'll be in violation of Bashel Mivushal Mikol Makom. The Isser is to eat it when it is Mivushal. We're not discussing over here the Isser to cook the Korban HaPesach. The Isser is to consume the Korban HaPesach that was cooked in such a manner. The Pasuk says, Al tochlu mimenu na uvashel mivushal b'mayim kim tzleish. So the Isser is with regards to Achila. It's not the actual process of what you do to the Korban HaPesach, but rather if you consume such a Korban HaPesach. But no, that's different. The Mishnah talks about the fact that you can baste it with the item. You can't cook it in that item. There's a difference between basting it and cooking it. Cooking it is where the olive oil is the vehicle for the process of cooking. The heat is transferred through the liquid itself. That's what cooking is. Cooking is that the transmission of the heating to create the cooking process is done through the medium of a liquid. That's problematic. The fact that you have a liquid, which the Mishnah says that if you sachinu matbilin behen, that you can be sach, you can baste it with that. That's because the heat is still coming from the fire. The fire is creating the roasting. The liquid's simply a way to give flavor or to add something to the Korban HaPesach. It doesn't create the cooking of the Korban HaPesach. It's not the way that the heat is conveyed in this case. Okay, Tan Rabbanan. Yochol tzal'o kol tzorcho yehi chayav. You would think if he roasted it, all of its needs. Now, that's just a nice way of saying he basically burnt it. That he roasted it to the point that it was no longer roasted, but it was charred. Yehi chayav. You would think that if he roasted it that much, he'd be chayav. Tamal Omar, al tochlu mimenu na, uvashel mivushal b'mayim. The problems are only if it's na, uvashel mivushal amarti lecha. But if it's na, I'll translate loosely na here meaning raw, uvashel mivushal means cooked. That's problematic. Lo shetzalo kor tzorcho. But if he roasted it to the point where it's burnt or charred, then he won't be chayav. So it says, eichi dami. At what point does it transition from be considered roasted to be considered tzalo kol tzorcho? From the point of when he is chayav for tzalo, first says tzalo kol tzorcho, where he would not be chayav. Amar Rav Ashi, the shavya charucha, that he made it into a charred piece of meat, that he burnt it so much that it no longer is considered to be roasted meat. So Rashi over here brings down two possibilities about what the interpretation is. His first interpretation, which he rejects, is to roast it in this way, and then be mevashel it after you roasted it in such a manner, would you be chayav for the bishul achar the tzli in this case? That's one way to interpret what the Gemara is asking over here, which is, if you have a case where you were roasting it to the point that it was burnt, and then you cooked it afterwards, would you be chayav in that case? That's one way to read it. And the other way to read it, which Rashi favors, is, the shavya charucha is, are you chayav for the Isser of Ki'im Tzliyesh, that you have to make it Tzliyesh. So is there a problem with this because it's not considered to be Tzliyesh? Not called Tzliyesh, but rather Koliyesh, because you were Saruf. You burnt it to the point where it's no longer considered to be roasted anymore. It's considered to be burnt. And Rashi says, V'zeu Ikar. That's the right way to explain this Gemara. And that's the question over here. Do you get Malkot for Charucha? And he rejects the first explanation he brought, because what's the difference if it's Charucha? Whether he didn't make it charucha, if the question is about bishul achar tzli. So he says that can't be the issue here. That can't be what the Gemara is discussing over here, because Harucha would make no difference. Real question of the Gemara is over here with regards to Harucha. What is the din? Is that considered to be Tzli Eish? Or is that not considered to be Tzli Eish and Chayav Alav because of it? And the answer is no, that you're not Chayav Alav. You're only Chayav Alav for Na and Mevushal. You're not Chayav Alav for this Tzli, this over roasting. Even though it's not called Tzli Eish anymore because you've gone so far in roasting it and burning it, nevertheless, it's not something that you'll get Makot for because that's not included in the Lav over here. So it is problematic, it's just you won't get Makot for such a burning of the item. Tanur Rabbanan, Yochel Echal Kazayit Chai. I would think if you ate a Kazayit of raw Korban Pesach Yeh Chayav, that you'll be Chayav for that. Tamalomar, Al Tochlu Mimenu Na Umvashel Mibushal. Na Mibushal Amarti Decha Velo Chai. The only problems are Na Ubashel, but not Chai. So what the Gemara is saying over here is that Chai means raw. Na does not mean, even though Na in the vernacular means raw, it doesn't really mean raw. Na means not fully cooked. So you have different stages here, and that's what the Gemara is discussing about. You can have a continuum. You have Chai, which is completely raw. You have Na, which is partially cooked. You have Vashel Mevushal, which is cooked fully, just not roasted. Then you have Tzli, which is roasted. And then you have Harucha, which is burnt. So the Gemara discussed the two ends now. It discussed Harucha, where you roasted so far that it's completely burnt. There you would think you're Chayav Makot. The Gemara says, no, you're not Chayav Makot, even though it's problematic. It's not Tzliyesh. Same thing over here on the other side. The Gemara says, Chai, if it's completely raw, you would also think that you're Chayav Makot for eating it completely raw. If you have some carpaccio from the Korban HaPesach, you would think that that would give you Makot. The answer is, no, you don't get Makot for Chai, because that's not what's mentioned in the Pasuk. The only thing that's mentioned in the Pasuk is Na, Bashel Mibushal. And the definition of Na is partially cooked, not completely raw. So now, Yochol Yehei Mutar, you would think it'd be completely mutar. Tamalomar ki im tzliyesh. Right? That it has to be tzliyesh. That's the only way it can be, is roasted by the fire. Hechidami na. So what does this na mean? Amarav kidamri parsai avranim. So what the Persians say, avranim, which means partially cooked. I don't know. I think maybe the word is built of the word aver nim, that you can still see the limbs. It's not fully cooked or fully roasted, but it's only partially cooked. So what you see here is, and that's the answer to the question that Josh, you posed before, as well as Fred, that in these instances of Chai and completely burnt, you cannot eat it for the Korban HaPesach. It does not qualify the Korban HaPesach because it's not Tzliyesh. The burnt is Kaliyesh, not Tzliyesh. The Chai is raw and not Tzliyesh. So in terms of Korban Pesach, it's disqualified. That we don't have any questions. The question is, do you get Malkot for that? The answer of the Gemara is no, because the Torah specifies what you get Malkot for, and that's Na and Vashel Mivushal. And the definition of Na is not like we thought. Na means raw. It means partially raw. And therefore, Chai is not included under Na. And Bashel Bevushal is cooked. And those are the two things that you're going to get Malkot for. Whereas the whole spectrum is going to be Asur in terms of using for Korban Pesach, because it doesn't qualify as the Eish. Now, there is a machlok between Rashi and Tosafot as to why you don't get Malkot over here. Rashi says you are in violation of the Isur of Ki'im Tzli Eish, but you will not get Malkot for it. The reason you don't get Malkot for it is because Kim Tzliyesh is a Lav Shebichlalot, and this is based on the opinion that a person does not get Malkot for Lav Shebichlalot. I'm going to leave that undefined because we're going to get that in the Gemara in a couple of minutes. Tosafot, on the other hand, says in order to receive Malkot for Kim Tzliyesh, Kim Tzliyesh is modified or defined by the Na and Mevushal that come before it. So Kim Tzliyesh will only get Malkot for Na Mevushal. It will not get Malkot for anything else. And that's why over here you don't get Malkot. Doesn't matter whose opinion it is, there are no Malkot for Kim Tzliyesh, except for Na Mevushal B'mayim, not for items like Chai and Mishli Kol Tzorcho. Amar Rav Chista, HaMevashel B'chamei Tveria. Someone who cooks in Chamei Tveria, B'Shabbat, if he does it on Shabbat, he's Patur. Pesach, Shibishlo B'chamei Tveria, Pesach that was cooked in the hot springs of Tveria, Chayav. Then you would be Chayav. So it would be considered Bashel Mevushal B'mayim. So you have what seems to be an internal contradiction or dira, inconsistency in the position of Rav Chista, which he says when you cook for Shabbat in the hot springs of Tveria, not Chayav. And when you cook the Korban Pesach, you are Chayav. With regards to Shabbat, you're saying it's not considered Bishul. With regards to Korban Pesach, you're considering that it is considered to be Bishul. So excellent question. Chamei Teveria are not possible. It's not possible to cook a Karban Pesach and Chamei Teveria, because the Karban Pesach cannot leave the walls of Yerushalayim. Or Bechol HaRo'eh, Bezman HaMishkan, or Bezman HaMikdash. So it's an impossibility. Rashi says over here, when he says Chamei Teveria, it means Mayanot Rotchim. So when the Gemara uses the word Chamei Teveria, it doesn't always mean the hot springs of Teveria. It means anything similar to the hot springs of Teveria means hot springs. So hot springs, whether in Teveria or whether in Yerushalayim, the Gemara gives them the generic term called Chamei Teveria. What is interesting is that based on this, the Gemara seems to indicate or implicate that there are Chamei Teveria, quote-unquote, in Yerushalayim, hot springs in Yerushalayim, which we know nothing about. There's no evidence that there were ever any hot springs in Yerushalayim, which is somewhat of the implication of the Gemara over here. The only other thing that you could suggest is that the Gemara is really just testing the limits of the din here, but not in reality. It's not saying that there really are hot springs. Just saying, well, if you put in a hot spring, this would be the din, even though that's not necessarily a possibility or a reality. It's just telling us, what does the din look like in this circumstance? Because otherwise you'd have to suggest that there were hot springs in Yerushalayim, which is a very difficult position since there's no evidence that there were hot springs in Yerushalayim. It's not unusual for the Gemara to give theoretical cases to test the limits. Over here, the fact that it mentions hot springs seems to be that they was something of reality, but I would agree with you that it's very likely that this is just a theoretical question. The Gemara wants to know, Maishna b'Shabbat, Dilo. Why on Shabbat do we say that it's not considered Bishul? The Toda Deish Beinan. Because on Shabbat, it's only considered Bishul when it's a derivative of fire. When it's a derivative of the Chama, of the sun, then it's not considered to be Bishul on Shabbat. And that the Gemara discussed extensively in Perek Akira with regards to Chamei Teveria, with regards to Bishul b'Chama, cooking directly in the sun, which is not considered to be shul, and there's no gzera d'rabanan. Cooking with toldot chama, derivatives of the sun, which is asur mid'rabanan, because it looks like toldot ha'esh, but it's not asur min ha'torah. And then there's esh and toldot ha'esh, which are problematic min ha'torah. So over here, chamei teveria, machloket in the Gemara in Shabbat, as to what's the derivation of the heat in the hot springs of Teveria. Do they derive from the fact that they're heated by the sun, and that's why they're considered toldot hachama, or we consider them toldot ha'esh, as the Gemara there suggests, that they're ovrim al pitcho shel gehinom. They pass by the doorway of gehinom, and they're heated by esh. So that's actually a machloket there in the Gemara as to whether this is toldot ha'esh or toldot hachama. Clearly, Rav Chista believes that they're toldot hachama, or they're from the chama, and therefore, you're not chayav on Shabbat, because they're not considered to be toldot ha'esh. That's with regards to Shabbat. So Pesach Tami. So if that's the definition of Bishul, it has to be Toldot Eish. So then, why not the same thing by Pesach? It's Lav Toldot Eishu. And so why should it be considered Bishul? So Amarovo, my Chayav Diktani, Takav Avar Mishum Tzliyesh. Now, what does it mean that you're Chayav over here? It doesn't mean you're Chayav Makot for Bishul. Rather, you're Chayav over here because you violated Tzliyesh. You violated the Isur Asay of Tzliyesh. And because you violated the Isur Yisei of Tzliyesh, that's what's problem. That's what it means, Chayav, over here. Now, Rashi claims that Chayav means Chayav li Gamre, and that is because he's previewing the upcoming Gemara and suggests over here that the Tzliyesh, which is a Lav Shebichlalot, you get Malkot on. And therefore, when Rava says you're Chayav, yeah, you are Chayav, and you're Chayav Malkot because of the Lav Shebichlalot of Tzliyesh. That's the way Rashi learns this. He learns the Chiyuv over here as literally being because there is a lav of tzliyesh, and that's a lav shebichlalot, and we're going to see in the upcoming Gemara that according to some opinions, you get malkot for that. And that is what Rav is suggesting over here, that this statement of Chista is according to the opinion that says that lav shebichlalot, you get malkot on it. So that's the way Rashi explains it. Now, the Gemara has another version of this. Rav Chiya, Breder of Natan, Matni L'ah, Dahad, Rav Chista, V'hedjo. He had this din of Rav Chista, and explicitly says that the problem here is Kiyam Tzliyesh. Instead of having us ask the question of what he's Chayav for over here, and then Rava coming along and saying he's Chayav because of Kiyam Tzliyesh, here it's explicitly stated within Rav Chista's statement, which is, I'm Rav Chista, I'm a Vashel b'chamei Teveria b'Shabbat patur, u'Pesach shebishlo b'chamei Teveria Chayav. Why? Shavar mishum Tzliyesh. Because he is in violation of Kiyam Tzliyesh. So Rashi believes over here that Kiyam Tzliyesh means any form of cooking besides na'e mivushal is chayav, and that's why you would be chayav if you believe lash b'chalot gets malkot, versus if you think lash b'chalot doesn't get malkot, you won't be chayav, and that's the difference between the previous braita and what we just said over here. Whereas Tosafot says that the Ki'im Tliyesh is defined by the Na'at and Mevushal. If it's something that's chai, or it's something that is overcooked, then you're only in violation of the mitzvah asay, which is ki'im mitzliyesh, and there's no lav involved with it. You'll be chayav in terms of being violating asay. You're not going to be chayav in terms of makot. You won't get makot for it. And that's what we explained before, the difference between Rashi and Tosafot's viewing of this chayav over here. Right now we move on to a sugya, which is a very large sugya, a difficult sugya. It's a shas sugya. It appears numerous times in shas in a different forms, and raises the question as to what is the definition of what we call lav shibachalot. That's the sugya that we're about to enter. One of the hardest things about the sugya is whose opinion is the opinion over here. We have a machlok between Rava and Abaye. Our Gemara puts Rava's opinion first, and then Abaye's opinion second. The Gemara in other places, including the Gemara Nazir, has their opinions reversed. Tosafot already notes it here, notes it in Menachot, shows that. He says, there are many times in Shas that you have that a Gemara in one Gemara and in a different Masechta will have the same sugya with the names reversed in it, and that's not unusual. That's what Tosafot says. On the other hand, there are many Rishonim, including Tosafot mentions such a concept, as well as the Rosh in the Gemara in Shabbat, who say that the Gemara always brings the opinion of Abaye first, and then the opinion of Rava second. And so therefore, the correct girsa over here should be Amar Abaye, and then Amar Rava. Not Amar Rava and then Amar Abaye. And that, if you change the girsa, would then have all of the Gemarot be consistent with that in the Gemara Nazir, which has Abaye have the first opinion, and then Rava have the second opinion. Our Gemara will read it with the girsa that we have here, that has Rava first, because of the fact that most of the Rishonim do read it this way, and maintain the girsa in this manner. So Amar Rava, achlona, if you eat it partially cooked, lokesh shtayim, you get two sets of malkot. Mivushal, you eat it mivushal, lokesh shtayim, you get two sets of malkot. Na, umivushal, if you eat it both partially cooked and fully cooked, lokesh shalosh, you get three sets of malkot. What Rava says is, if you look at the pasuk says, al tochlu mimenu, and then there are three terms. It's as if, al tochlu mimenu, colon. What are the items that you al tochlu mimenu? One is na, the another next one is vashel mivushal b'mayim, and the third one is ki'im tliyesh. So there are three things that the al tochlu is modifying, or is being modified by, which is na, vashel mivushal, and ki'im tliyesh. And Rava says, each one of those lands you with a set of malkot. So therefore, if you eat it na, you're in violation of na, but you're also in violation of ki'im tliyesh. And both of those are modifying al tochlu. So I have a lav of al tochlu mimenu na, and I have a lav of al tochlu ki'im tliyesh. So those two lavim land you with two sets of malkot. Same thing with mivushal. If you eat it mivushal, you're in violation of al tochlu mimenu bashel mivushal b'mayim, and you're also in violation of al tochlu ki'im tliyesh. So you're in violation of both. If you eat both na and mivushal, you're chayav malkot three times, because obviously ki'im tliyesh, you can't be chayav twice for that, because that's one lav. That's one lav of ki'im tliyesh. Na and mivushal are both violations of it, but they're not separate violations of ki'im tliyesh. They're the same violation of ki'im tliyesh. So if you eat it na and mivushal, you're chayav for na, you're chayav for bashel mivushal, and you're also chayav ki'im tliyesh, and you'll be chayav three times. That's the position of Rava, which is that there is a set of makot for each item that is mentioned in the Mishnah. Abaye Amar. Now Rava's opinion is pretty well muskam. According to all the poskim, it's pretty clear what Rava's opinion is. Abaye's opinion is much more difficult, and it leads to a large machloket between the Rishonim as to how to read Abaye's opinion. Abaye Amar, Ein lokim al lav shlebech lalot. So Abaye makes a generic statement, or general statement is, that you do not get malkot for lav shlebech lalot, which is you don't get malkot for a negative commandment that is a general precept. We'll have to define that in 1 second. Igadamre. So now there are two explanations of this statement of Abaye. One is, tartehu dodoloki, you don't get two sets of malkot, Chada mihaloki, but you do get one set of malkot. Igadamri. There are others that say when he said this, he meant chada nami loki. Dolo michad leve kalav de chasima, because it doesn't have a defined lav like the lav of chasima. The chasima is lo tachsom shor b'disho. You may not muzzle an ox while it is working, while it is plowing. And right afterwards, the parsha of malkot is mentioned over there. So the Torah, whenever it wants to determine the paradigmatic type of lav, it always goes to lav de chasima to find what a paradigmatic lav is, because it is adjacent or juxtaposed to the parsha of malkot. And so because of that, that's the definition. That's why lav hanitak le'aseh, a lav she'ein bo maseh. All of these lavim are excluded because they are not dome to lav de chasima. They're not similar to that lav of chasima, muzzling, which involves an action, which doesn't have an assay that it rectifies it. So because of that, that's the definition of the paradigmatic lav that you get makot for. And the Abaye says that this lav does not match lav de chasima, because lav de chasima has a specific defined restriction or violation, which is not true in this case. So let's take one step back and say, what is a lav shibachlalot? Abaye says the problem here is that you have a lav shibachlalot. So Rashi and Tosafot both define lav shibachlalot over here in the same manner. And Rashi says, the kolel bo kol minei bishulim she'enam tzliah le'esor. So when I say to you, ki im tzliesh, that you have to do it tzliesh, you have to do it roasted, so that means anything that's not roasted is subsumed in that isur. That means that that isur includes many different types of cooking, roasting, anything besides kliyesh is problematic under that isur. That's called a lav shibichlalot. It's a lav shibichlalot because subsumed in that lav is many manifestations of the problem of kiyim tliyesh. So both Rashi and Tosafot think that that's the definition of lav shibichlalot. And that's what Abaye is saying over here. You do not get makot for lav shibichlalot. Now, Rashi and Tosafot disagree on how that manifests itself, or that works. Rashi says that if you violate na, and if you violate mibushal, you will get malkot, because those are not lavim shibichlalot. They have a clear and defined iser here. Don't eat na. That's one thing. Don't eat mibushal b'mayim. You'll get malkot for that. So if you're in violation of na, you will get malkot. If you're in violation of mibushal, you will get malkot. If you're in violation of na and mibushal, you'll actually get two sets of malkot, because you violated each iser separately. The only thing you will not get is you will not get a malkot for ki im tzliesh as well. You won't get ki im tzliesh is a lav shibichlalot, and therefore you will not get malkot for it if you're already getting malkot for na ubashel mibushal. But, Rashi says, if you're not getting a malkot for na and mibushal, you will get malkot for ki im tzliesh. So ki im tzliesh is functional as long as na and mibushal have not been triggered. So according to Rashi, therefore you have in this first opinion of Abaye, which says chada loki means that you only get one of the two lavim. You only get na, not kiyim tzliesh. You only get mivushal, not kiyim tzliesh. Or you get kiyim tzliesh because you're not getting now mivushal. And that's what it means, chada loki. You get one set of makot from the al tochlu. The al tochlu can only modify one of those two items. It can either modify now mivushal or can modify kiyim tzliesh. It won't modify both of them. And that's how Rashi says that the lav shibichlalot works over here. So therefore, according to Rashi, in the first Igadamri of Abaye, if you violate mivushal, one set of makot. If you violate na, one set of makot. Violate mivushal na, two sets of makot. You eat something that is not na mivushal, you get a set of makot for ki im tliyesh. That's Rashi's opinion. In the second Igadamri, it says you don't get makot at all. What does that mean, you don't get makot to go? If you're in violation of mivushal, you'll get makot. If you're in violation of na, you'll get makot. You're in violation of mivushal and na, get two sets of makot. So what does that mean? You don't get it. You don't get any makot for kiyim tzliesh whatsoever. Kiyim tzliesh doesn't give you makot. It's never in force. That means. So for instance, Rashi brings examples of that. What about chai and chamei tveria? If the carbon of pesach is brought in chai and chamei tveria. So according to the first opinion of Abaye, you'd be chayav one set of makot for chai or chamei tveria because of kiyim tzliesh. In the second Ikadamre, you won't be chayav for chai and chamei tveria because kiyim tzliesh gets no makot whatsoever when it comes to a lav shibichlalot. That's the way Rashi reads the Gemara over here. Again, dividing lav shibichlalot as being kiyim tzliesh because it includes in it many different forms of cooking. That's Rashi's opinion. Tosafot, who agrees that that's the definition of lav shibichlalot, but he has a different view than Rashi on this here. And he says that the chay nirah l'rabbeinu tam, the chay lo laki l'kuli alma, the kiyim tzliesh lo masha da'at l'makot el'aseh. Just like what David just said now, that the kiyim tzliesh is basically an iser aseh. It's not coming to give you a malkot. And therefore, Tosfot says, na umivushal davka plige. The argument over here is about nine mivushal. The Rova sovar, Rova believes that the hochi samche le Elu lukot alav al namivushal shehem b'nei milka. Why is kiyim tzliesh next to namivushal? To tell you that you get makot for all of these items. Ve'bayemar, ein lukim alav shibichlalot. so that you don't get a malkot for lashon lachot. The had to come a chada mi a milkaloki hachi perush im hitzrubo bishum klim kliyish eish levado. If they gave him hatra'a for kiim sliyish levado, then he will get malkot. Aval malkot anah mivushal lo yolke, but you won't get malkot for na and mivushal. So the only thing that you can get malkot from over here is kiim sliyish. Na and mivushal are simply helping you to understand what is the definition of ki'im tzliyesh. Ki'im tzliyesh is telling you it must be roasted, not na and mivushal. Therefore, if you're going to get malkot, it'll be only if a person warns you, you're in violation of ki'im tzliyesh. Why are you in violation of ki'im tzliyesh? Because now mivushal tell you that that's not called tzliyesh. And so therefore, if you warn him about ki'im tzliyesh, you'll be chayav. By na and mivushal, you'll be chayav one set of malkot because you violated ki'im tzliyesh. On the other hand, if you warn him for na mivushal, you will not get makot for that, because kiim tzliyesh is a klal, and you won't get makot. If you're getting makot for na mivushal, you will not get makot for kiim tzliyesh. If you warn about kiim tzliyesh and you're not getting makot for na mivushal, then kiim tzliyesh can function as a lav because of its juxtaposition to na and mivushal. So according to Tosafot, kiim tzliyesh is limited to na and mivushal. You can only get malkot for tzliyesh by the case where it's na mivushal, and only in an instance where you're not getting malkot for na mivushal. You warned about kiim tzliyesh and not about na and mivushal. So his kiim tzliyesh is much more limited than that of Rashi's. And then in the second lashon of Abaye, you won't even get malkot for kiim tzliyesh. And therefore, according to Tosafot, by Chai and Chamei Tveria, you will not get malkot at all, according to Tosafot. Because the only thing you can get malkot if you warn for kiim tzliyesh. But anything besides na mivushal will not get malkot according to Tosafot. That's both according to the Lishna Rishona and the Lishna Shnia. You will not get malkot for things that are outside of na and mivushal. So that's Tosafot's opinion. Again, he agrees with Rashi about this idea of lav shebichlalot. Their disagreement is, what does that mean when you have a lav shebichlalot? Rashi says lav shebichlalot means that you can't have both of them together. You can't have na mivushal and kiim tzliyesh functioning at the same time. It's only na mivushal that function, and then kiim tzliyesh can function when na mivushal are not in effect. Tosafot, on the other hand, says, what does it mean you can't get malkot for lashon b'chalot? Means malkot, but that's all defined by na mivushal. The only thing you'll get malkot for is na mivushal if you warn for kiim tzliyesh. And that's the way Tosafot defines it. That is the opinion of Rashi and Tosafot. On the other hand, there is a different view of what lav shebichlalot is, and that is of the Ramban and the Rambam. The Ramban and the Rambam believe that lav shebichlalot does not mean, like Rashi and Tosfot here, think that there are many manifestations of a single lav, but rather, there's a single lotase that has many pirutim, has many details that are mentioned by it. Over here, it says, al tochlu mimenu, and then it adds, na, bashel mevushal, giim tzliyesh. You have three items that are listed under the word lo tochal, or lo tochlu. That's a lav shebichlalot. You have one lotase that has a whole list of items that are included under the lotase. That's called a lav shebichlalot. And that's the way the Ramban and the Rambam define a lav shebichlalot. The Rambam in Shoresh Tet from Sefer HaMitzvot defines that there are two types of lav shebichlalot. There's one type of lav shebichlalot that starts out with a lotase, and it has numerous items enumerated after it, and that the Gemara says, "Ein lokin a lav shebichlalot," to get no malkot whatsoever. There are other cases in the Gemara where you have a one single lav, and you have many details afterwards. In that case, sometimes the Gemara says you get one set of malkot for all the number of items that are enumerated there. The Rambam puts it here because he's telling how you enumerate a mitzvah. That in a case where you don't get any malkot for the lav shebichlalot, there's only one isur there, and therefore there is a mitzvah achat. You only count it as one mitzvah in the Sefer HaMitzvot. On the other hand, if it's a case where you have a single isur, and that single isur manifests in multiple cases of malkot, then for every set of malkot, you put in a separate mitzvah in Sefer HaMitzvot. And this second category also bifurcates where sometimes you get malkot on each individual item, and sometimes you'll get one malkot for all the items that are enumerated there. And obviously that'll make a difference as to how you count it in Sefer HaMitzvot. And he says that which we see by Korban HaPesach belongs to that second category. And that is, you are lokea ko pirut v'pirut. And so the Rambam, in the first explanation of Abaye, says that he believes since there was a single lotase over there, That single lotase manifests in a single malkot. That means if you eat it na, you get one set of malkot. You eat it mivushal, you get one set of malkot. You eat it na and mivushal, you also only get one set of malkot, because there's only one lav that's mentioned there. And that's the definition of a lav shebichalot, according to the Rambam. A lav shebichalot is one lav that incorporates many different items. So in terms of the chametz, tveria, and chai, you won't get malkot at all, because they're not mentioned in the pasuk whatsoever. On the other hand, when it comes to the items of na, mivushal, or na and mivushal together, you'll get one set of malkot. And that's the way the Rambam paskins in Mishnah Torah, that you can only get one set of malkot for na, mivushal, and na and mivushal. But chai and chametz tveria, you will not get malkot for. On the other hand, in the second Lashon of Abaye, the Rambam says that that Deya, in that second Lashon of Abaye, believes that you get no Malkot or Lav Shebichlalot. You don't get Malkot whatsoever. And that means you won't get Malkot for Na, you won't get Malkot for Mivushal, you won't get Malkot for Na Mivushal, and you won't get Malkot for Chai or Chametz Tveria. There are no Malkot, because this is a Lav Shebichlalot that's in the category of Lav Shebichlalot that don't get Malkot whatsoever. So that is the difference between the opinions of Abaye in the first Igadami and the second Igadami. In the first Igadami, you get one set of Malkot, period, because there's only one Lotase. In the second instance, by Abaye, where he says you don't get Malkot for Lav Shebichlalot, that means, literally, you do not get Malkot for Lav Shebichlalot. The Ramban, on the other hand, says, number one, even a Rava, because the Ramban has a different Girsa in the Gemara, where Rava is the second opinion, and Abaye is the first opinion, so he quotes it b'shem Rava, but he says that which the Rambam said is incorrect. First of all, we always paskin like the Lishna Batra, and the Lishna Batra, according to the Rambam, says that you get no Malkot whatsoever. So then why is he paskining in Mishnah Torah that there is one set of Malkot? That's number one. Number two is, even if it's a safek, it's a fake nefashot, we'd go the kula. And therefore, the Ramban makes a definitive statement, aval eina inyan kamo shamar harav. It's not like what the Rambam says. Sha'ochel na'imivushal. Someone eats na'imivushal. Afilu dat rova, which is a bay in our Gemara. Lo keshtayim. V'chein bezag v'chatzan benazir. So too by zag and chatzan and nazir, you get two sets of malkot. And therefore, the Ramban, in the first opinion of Abaye, where chadoloki and not shtayim loki, learns, actually, like Rashi and Tosafot. He says that, number one, you will get malkot for na. You will get Malkot for Mivushal. If you have Na and Mivushal, you get two sets of Malkot. And by Chai or Chametz Tveria, technically you would get Malkot for them, except for the fact that the Gemara is Mimayate them, and says you don't get Malkot from them. But technically you could get Malkot for them. And similar to the Tosafot, if you warn about Ki'im Tzliesh, when it's a case of Na or Mivushal, then you could get a set of Malkot for that, as long as you're not getting Malkot for now, because there's only one Lotase over there. In the second Lashon of Abaye, again, he's similar to Rashi and Tosafot. He says, if it's Na, you get one set of Malkot. If it's Mivushal, you get one set of Malkot. If it's not Imivushal, you get two sets of Malkot. And if it's Chai or Chametz Tveria, you don't get any Malkot whatsoever, because it's a Lav Shebichlalot. Now, Lav Shebichlalot for him is defined as a Lav that incorporates many different Isurim. It says there are actually three different types of Lav Shebichlalot. There's one Lav Shebichlalot that incorporates many different items, disparate items. And that Lav Shebichlalot, you don't get Malkot at all. The example he brings for that is Lo Tochlu Al Adam, which has many manifestations that are disparate, have nothing to do with each other. There you don't get Malkot for those Lavin. There is a second case of Lav Shebichlalot, which is when you have one Lav that has numerous details after it. That lav, you get malkot for every item that is enumerated in the list that is after it. It's one lav, but it's as if it's written with a colon, and the lav applies to each item afterwards. There is a third type of lav shebichlalot, under which this lav of Pesach falls, which is that you are a lav that has both a klal and pratim. Both the lav here by Pesach and the lav by Nazir have that set up, where they have one generic statement, plus they have individual statements. And that's where we have this machloket of Abaye and Rava about that specific type of lav shebichlalot. And that lav shebichlalot is considered to be a lav shebichlalot because, number one, it's a lav that has numerous items enumerated after it. But more importantly, because it has also this generic, all-inclusive statement that makes it into a lav sheh bichlalot. So in that case, of that lav sheh bichlalot, there the Ramban, in a similar vein to Rashi and Tosafot, defines the lav sheh bichlalot being the general incorporating principle, and that's why you will not get malkot for it according to the second lashon in Abaye. So that gives you a quick overview of what lav sheh bichlalot is and the differences within the Rishonim. Again, I'll send you out the Mikarot so you can see in more detail more about this sugya. Now, Gemara says, we have another case like this. Rava Amar. Rava says, Achal Zag Lokesh Taim. So what the Gemara does here is brings a parallel case that exists by Nazir that has basically the same setup that we have here by Korban HaPesach. And that is by the Nazir, it says, Kol Yemei Nizro, Mikol HaShei Yaseh Migefen HaYayin Mechatzinim VaZag Lo Yochel. So it's Mikol HaShei Yaseh Migefen, that's a klal. Mechatzinim VaZag is a specification, Lo Yochel, you may not eat. So Rav over here, Achal Zag Lokesh Taim. If you eat the skins, you get two Malkot, one for Zag and one Mikol HaShei Yaseh Migefen HaYayin. Chatzan, you eat the pit, Lokesh Taim, you get one for Chatzanim and you get one for Mikol HaShei Yaseh Migefen HaYayin. If you eat Zag V'chatzan, if you eat both of them, Lokesh Shalosh, similar to Rav's opinion up above, by Na'am Vushal B'mayim and Kim Sliyesh. Abaye Amar, Ein Ukin Alav Shibichlalot. Abaye has the same opinion that he had before, which is you don't get Makot for Lav Shibichlalot. Ikedamri, some say that means, Tarte Yehuda Lalaki, you don't get two sets of Makot, Chadami Alaki, but you do get one set of Makot. Ikedamri, some say, Chadanami no Laki, you don't even get one set of Makot. Tilomi Yachid Lavek, Lav de Chasima. It doesn't have a specific Lav like that of Chasima, the Lav of Loktasom, Shor Bidisho. So you see here a similar Machloket by Nazir, as you have by Korban HaPesach. So the two of them are in parallel, and the opinions are the same. Rav and Abaye's opinion are the same in both of these instances. So now the Gemara moves on. Tan Rabbanan. Achal kezayit na mibod yom. If he eats a raw piece mibod yom, patur. Kezayit na michashicha. If he eats a raw piece, once it's dark out, chayav. Now again, I'm using raw loosely. Now we know has already been defined as not being completely raw, but partially cooked. So if he eats it in the daytime, then he is patur. If he eats it at night, he's chayav. Achal kzayit sleep mibodjom. If you eat a kzayit of sleep in the daytime, lo pasal atzmo b'nei chaburai, doesn't ruin his ability to join the rest of the party. Kzayit sleep mechashicha. If he eats a kzayit of sleep at nighttime, then pasal atzmo b'nei chaburai, he ruins his ability to join the rest of the chabura. So tani idach, I have another braita. So now the other braita says, yochol achal kzayit na mibodjom. You would think if he ate a kzayit na during the daytime, he ate chayav. He should be chayav, not like the previous baita. Vidinu, and it's really a kav v'chomer. Uma b'shash yeshno b'kumachol tzli, at the time when you're supposed to eat it roasted, yeshno b'bal tuchol na, there's a restriction against eating it raw, then b'shash yeshno b'kumachol tzli, during the daytime where you can't even eat it roasted, enu din sheyesh b'bal tuchol na, then certainly you should be restricted from eating it raw. So that would be a kav v'chomer to bring the na to the daytime as well. Na at night, we know for sure you're chayav. Question is, are you chayav for na during the daytime? Bright here suggesting it's a kav v'chomer. If at night, when that's the proper time to eat it, and if you eat it na, you're in trouble, then certainly in the daytime where it's not the proper time, you can't eat it at all, then if you eat it na, it certainly should be problematic. Oh, maybe the other way around. No, maybe it should be like this. B'shashenu b'kumachol tzli, at a time when there is no kumachol tzli, there's no din of eating it roasted, yeshno b'val tuchol na. Then there's a restriction against eating it not. Meaning during the daytime, where there's no obligation to eat it roasted, then over there you'll have a restriction against eating it raw. B'shash yeshno b'kumachol tzli, but at nighttime, where you're supposed to eat it roasted, ain't no b'vachol tochol na. You won't be restricted from eating it not. I mean, obviously it'd be problematic. You just won't get malkot from it at that time. V'al titama, that seems illogical. Why should that be? How do you explain that logic? When you have an obligation to eat it roasted, then there's no restriction against eating it not. When there's no obligation to eat it roasted, then there is a restriction of eating it. Now, it seems almost backwards, that logic. So the answer, he says, Altitama, don't think that's the case. Shari hutar michlalo itzotzli. The difference is, at nighttime, once you come into nighttime, the Korban HaPesach has a heter to be eaten. And so you would have thought, once it has a heter to be eaten, how you eat it is important, but you will no longer get makot for eating it in the wrong way. Before the time that it's mutar to eat it whatsoever, then all these restrictions apply, and if you eat it in an improper manner, you'll get malkot. Once you get to nighttime, where there is one way you can eat it, that's liesh, once you have that heter to eat it's liesh, then the other ways of eating it, even though they're improper, will no longer get you malkot. That's a concept of heter mechalot, that when something becomes mutar in one form, then all the other forms are reduced or diminished in their isur. So during the daytime where you're not allowed to eat it at all, then in full force is the isur of al tochlu mimenu na ve'al tochlu mimenu bashel bibusha. At nighttime, where already you have permission to eat it, tzli, that's diminished the isur of al tochlu mimenu na and bashel bibusha b'mayim, and therefore you won't get makot. It'll be a sur still, but you won't get makot for it. The Braita says, Talmud Lomar, al tochlu mimenu na u'bashel bibusha b'mayim ki im tzli esh. The fact that you've juxtaposed the adjacency of ki im tzli esh to al tochlu mimenu na u'bashel bibusha b'mayim teaches you she'en Talmud Lomar. You don't need to say kiim tzliyesh. Ma talmud lomar kiim tzliyesh. So why did it mention kiim tzliyesh? Lomar lecha b'shash yishno b'kum achol tzli yishno b'chol tol na. So b'shash yishno b'kum achol tzli. In a time when there's no obligation to eat it tzli during the daytime, yishno b'chol tol na. That the two are correlated. That when you have an obligation to eat it roasted, then you have a restriction against eating it raw. So the two happen simultaneously. So whenever you have an obligation to eat it roasted, which is at nighttime, then you have a restriction against eating it na. During the daytime where there's no obligation to eat it roasted, there's no restriction against na. I mean, obviously it's problematic, but it's not going to land you with malkot. It's very similar to the hekesh that we have by matzah and chametz, where the obligation of matzah really is parallel to the time that you have isur chametz and vice versa, that whenever you have the isur chametz, that's when you have an obligation of matzah. So similar over here. When you have the obligation to roast it, then you have the negative commandment of na. When you have the negative commandment of na, then you have the obligation to eat it roasted. Now we have the two braitot, in the end, come to the same conclusion, which is that the isur of na is at the same time by kum achol tzvi. So that's one din. The second din that we talked about is about chabura, which is that there's an obligation of the chabura, or people who are together on a korban esach, to eat in a single location. They all must eat in the same location. So if you eat a kezayit of tzli during the daytime, when that's not the time to eat the korban pesach, then you've done nothing to ruin your ability or your chances to eat together with the chabura, because you're eating during the daytime is not considered achilat korban pesach, and when you go eat with them later, it's not as if you ate it in two places. On the other hand, if you eat it at nighttime, you eat a kezayit worth of tzli, you've established your location for eating the korban pesach, and now if the chabura is eating somewhere else, you can't go eat with them because you've already established your location and you can't change locations. And that's what's meant by that din of when you ate it during the daytime versus eating it at nighttime, how that impacts your ability to join the chabura afterwards. Okay, Rabbi Omer, Akri ani bashel. I could have just read the pasuk bashel. Matal mor mivushal. Why do you have a double lashon? Bashel mivushal. Shechol. Ein li elo shebishlo mishach shecha. I would think only if you cooked it at nighttime would it be problematic. Bishlo mibod yom inayin. How do I know if you cook it during the day and then eat it at night it's problematic? Tamal mor bashel mivushal. There's a riboy from the double lashon of bashel mivushal. Mikol makom. Vahai bashel mivushal. Afke Rabbi litzli kedar. Then Rabbi on the first part of the daf today, he said that bashel mevushal is what teaches us, number one, other mashkim are problematic, and taught us that tzli kedar is problematic because he uses bashel mevushal, that it's a riboy. So how could he take it over here and say, oh, I have another riboy for it? So now, if that's the case, how does he learn two things out of this one now? Because he used it for tzli kedar and shar mashkim, im kein lema kara. So the Gemara says, no, he can learn two things out of here, because the pasuk either should have said, oh, bashel, bashel, oh, mevushal, mevushal. If he wanted to have a double lashon, it should have repeated the same lashon twice. The fact that not only does it have a double lashon, but it changes the word that it uses in each case, that's going to teach me two things. So my bashel mevushal, shmami not tarti, I can learn two things out of it. I can learn now both the restriction against shar mashkim and tzli kedar, as well as the restriction of cooking it during the day and then eating it at night. Tara banan, achal tzli mi ba'od yom, chayav. If he eats roasted meat during the daytime, he is chayav. Kezayit nami chashicha, chayav. If you eat a kezayit of raw at night, you're chayav. Tani tzli dumi adina. Ma na bilav, af tzli bilav. Because you have a din of tzli, and you have a din of na, just like na is a lotase, so too the tzli is a lotase. Where it says, wait a minute. Bishlama naktiv. By na it says, al tuklu mimenu na. So you have a explicit lav lotase over there. So that I understand. El tzlimi limi nolan. How do I know that by roasted meat that you have a problem? Dichtiv. Vachlu et basar balayla hazeh. Says you must eat the meat at that night. Balayla in, bayom lo. At night, yes. During the day, no. And that's why you're saying to me you're going to get makot for eating it tzli during the day because you violated the isur of achlu et basar balayla hazeh. Gemara says, wait a minute. Hai lav aba michlal aseihu. This is a isur asei. It's a negative that derives from a positive statement. The positive statement is, v'chlu et basar b'layla hazeh. The implications of that pasuk are, you must eat it at night, therefore do not eat it during the day. But that's not explicit in the pasuk. There's no lav in the pasuk. It's an asay. And from that we derive, or we can infer, that there's a restriction against eating during the day. And v'chol lav abba michlal asay. And any iser asay, any restriction that derives from a positive statement, remains a positive commandment, because the source for it is a positive commandment. So how are you getting malkot over here? So I'm Rav Chista, Hamani, who's the author of this position? Rav Yehuda. This is the position of Rav Yehuda. Detanya. We have a braita. Shor v'seh sarua v'kalut. If you have a shor sehu, which have mumim in them, the mum of sarua, which is that they have uneven limbs of any sort, a big one eye is big, one small, one arm's longer, one shorter. If the animal has such a mum in it, or kalut, is that its hooves are rounded out, they're not split, then nidava taseoto. You can bring it as a nidava, as a donation, meaning that you can give that to kodshe bedek habayit. You can donate its value to the mikdash. Now we learn from that, we infer from that, oto atam matpis the bedek habayit. Only a korban or an animal that has a mum in it, may you donate its value to the mikdash. But if you have an animal that's ra'oi the mizbeach, that could go on the mizbeach because it has no mumim in it, then you're not allowed to give that to bedek habayit. And it's an isur. But it's an isur that derives from a positive statement. The positive statement is that an animal with a mum, you can give to bedek habayit. You can donate to the treasury of the mikdash for hekdesh. But the implications are that if it wasn't with a mum, and if it was a tamim, you wouldn't be able to do that. Again, it's an isur asay that derives from asay. Mikan amru, kol matpis tmimim the bedek habayit over baasei. Anybody who is matpis tmimim the bedek habayit violates an asei. Ainli ala baasei. All right, so you violated a positive commandment because that's an iser that derives from an asei. That's considered an asei. Belota se minayin. How do I know you're also in violation of a negative commandment? Tomalomar, the pasuk says, vaydaber Hashem el Moshe leimor. The pasuk begins, or the parsha begins, vaydaber Hashem el Moshe leimor. And what's the meaning of the word leimor? Limeid al koa parsha kula, teaches you about the whole parsha, sheik belo tase. The lemor gives a lo tase to the whole parsha. It says that anything that is mentioned in this parsha, that is a restriction, whether it's explicit the restriction, or whether the restriction is derived from an assay, it's all subsumed under the assay of lemor. Divrei Rabbi Yehuda. That is the position of Rabbi Yehuda. Amalo Rabbi the Bar Kapara, my mashmo. How does Rabbi Yehuda get a lo tase out of the word lemor? So amalar dichtiv lemor, because the puzzle says lemor, lo ne'emar badvarim. So it's really a conjugation of the words of lo ne'emar. Lemor really means it is not something lo ne'emar. Lo is said bidvarim, about whatever's coming up here. So the lo ne'emar about the remainder of the parsha. And that's what lemor means. It's a conjugation of lo ne'emar. Be'rav amre, when the Beit Midrash of Rav, they said lemor means lav emor. Say a lav about the entire parsha. Again, both of them are deriving from the word that it's a conjugation, or it's a some sort of contraction, roshe tevot, of lo yomar, or lo namar, or lav emor, and therefore there's a lav that applies to the parsha. And so too, by Korban HaPesach, you have the same thing. The parsha Korban HaPesach begins, vayom Hashem Moshe l'Aron, lemor. So you have a lemor over there. So just like Rabbi Yehuda over here says there's a lota say from the word lemor, so too by Korban HaPesach, you'll say lemor gives you a lota say, even though the Easter is derived from an assay, and it's an Easter assay that should be an assay, nevertheless, the lemor transforms it into a lav, into a negative commandment. Now, as Tosfos points out over here, that's a dangerous precedent, because the word lemor is everywhere in the Torah, so how do you apply it? So he says he limits the application to the case where you have an Easter assay. If you have an Easter assay plus a lemor together, then the lemor teaches you that there's a lav on that Easter assay. But it's not broad application. Every time you have the word lemor in the Torah, that means that you have a lot assay. It's only lemor together with an Easter assay, that will create a lotase, and therefore he limits the application of this din that we just saw. Okay, we'll stop over here.